perfect love sometimes does not come until the first grandchild arrives. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. The Welsh proverb says, perfect love sometimes does not come until the first grandchild appears. Well, that's true. That's true. We were talking this morning about marriages, relationships, children, and raising families and doing things. And always there's the manipulation. Always there's manipulation. With parents, they want to raise their children well. They want to train them in the philosophy and the way of life that is important. That's good. With children, they want to raise their children well. And they want to teach them the values that they've learned. But when people get older, over 30, then they start having grandchildren. My goodness sakes, when did they start? Well, from Alabama, no, from many of the southern states, it was not unusual for children to be 12 years old and start having families, which is kind of young. You hardly know how to do anything. But they did. But the point being here, perfect love sometimes does not come until the first grandchild appears. Now, why would that be so? What is it that a grandparent does that a parent does not do? Well, a grandparent wants to just love, love, love. They don't want to train, at least they shouldn't, as long as they're still training their parent. But they want to just love. They just hug and snuggle and care for and play games with the children, be one with the children. They forget that they're now super adults, grandparents. Adults are adults and super adults are grandparents, you know. So they don't want to think about that. So what do? They go to the children and they talk to them. They say things that they in their maturity have learned. And they share, and they're wonderful, you know, beings to be around. They know how to babysit the children and things like that. They've had that experience. But what is the biggest thing a grandparent does with a grandchild? They love the child unconditionally. They love the child with unconditional love. Now you say, I've never seen a grandparent loving a child with unconditional love. No, that's because you're looking with the wrong eyes. When you're looking with the eyes of a parent, true, the grandparents do not have unconditional love. If you're looking with the eyes of a child, true, the grandparent does not have unconditional love. If you're looking at the grandparents with the eyes of authority, they don't have unconditional love. Unconditional love cannot be seen with the eyes of parents, with the eyes of control or manipulation, with the eyes of training. It can only be seen with the eyes of the purest acceptance. Now, I told you the story about my mother and how she had lots of grandchildren, and the grandchildren didn't enjoy being around her. And she questioned me one time, Herbie, how come the grandchildren don't like to be around me? And I said, well, Mom, for one reason. You forgot that you're not a parent anymore. It's not your job to raise those little stinkers, you know. It's not your job to make sure that they behave and that they do the right thing. It's your job to spoil them. Oh, no, I call the job. That's your job. That's what a grandma is, a spoiler. Grandpa's a spoiler. They completely go with the joys of the child, and they're not concerned if the child is supposed to be in bed at 9 o'clock and they're babysitting, or 9 o'clock, be in bed at 8 o'clock or 7. they're babysitting. They sit in front of the TV and let the kids sit on their lap and watch the TV and fall asleep in their arms. I mean, that's terrible. That's not discipline. That's not the way the parents do it. Can you imagine if every night when the parents put the kids to bed, they come downstairs and crawl in their parents' arms and go to sleep there while the parents are watching TV? The parents would probably change the type of TV they watch, too. But the big thing is, that's unconditional love. That's unconditional love. All right, now answer me this. Just answer me this with the openness of your heart. What does a mother or a father do when a child is ill? The mother or father allows the child to come down and get in their arms, allows the child extra liberties. Go to bed. He doesn't have to go. He's sick now. You go to bed. You know? Your brother's sick. He's on my arms, you know. And the other kids understand that. They understand that. But you see, that's just a little touch of unconditional love. A little touch of special handling. And that's the type of thing that grandparents do all the time. Well, I told my mom, I said, the grandkids don't like you because you're always, you know, making sure they behave, making sure they do good things. And she says, well, I never thought of that. I said, well, think about it. You're being a parent, you know, and you're long past being a parent. You got grandchildren now. And she thought about it. And then she became a very terrible lady. She became one of the most terrible ladies that we had in our family in our lifetime. She became a grandma. And she spoiled the kids. She did nice things with them and had a lot of fun with them. And didn't worry about their mama and daddy's schedules for them, or what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat, how much ice cream they should have, how much popcorn and other good things they should have. Not a slight. Get sick, go ahead. It's okay. And the kids didn't get sick. If they did, they just barfed it up and went after some more, you know. But the thing is, that's great being a grandparent. Now, it's not that you are letting children do things that are going to hurt them, but you guide them to do things that are going to benefit them. But you don't guide them as though, now, you behave. I've told you what to do. Now, I'm your mother. You do what I tell you, you know. And many parents do. They think that just their role gives them the authority to make demands on the family. And their role doesn't give them that authority. And what gives them that authority is the role they choose to play. Now, do they choose to play that they're in charge of their children's training? Well, then that's what they are. Is their role to play that they are unconditionally loving with their children? Just think. Just think. Just think if a parent could be unconditionally loving with their children, what glorious children we would have on the face of the earth. And now, let's take a step further back in history. Let's say that the mother and father are unconditionally in love with each other. What a rotten marriage that would make. There'd be no anger, there'd be no television, there'd be no watching the serials about people who are running around with other people's wives and other people's husbands and messing up and stuff like that. There'd be none of that. That wouldn't be, take away all that excitement, you know. And then, and also there would be none of this cavalier stuff.
Come and get it.
Where the cavalier goes out and protects the virtues of the woman or the man or whatever, you know. Yeah. You cannot violate my wife, my home. I'll come out and kill you. And the law doesn't allow it, but it is done. Now, unconditional love, you wouldn't need that. Unconditional love, a wife and a husband would feel, hey, this is cool. This is cool. We have a beautiful relationship. The children, what a wonderful home we have. The thought of not being happy with each other would not even be there. The thought of divorce or the thought of separation would never even be there in a home that is raised in unconditional love. It could not. It could not. And you see, this is really where parents have missed the bet. They know about unconditional love, but they've never had any practice in putting it to work. They've never had any practice because they think only grandmas and grandpas are unconditional lovers. And in a point, they're right. Because grandma isn't looking for some other man. Grandpa's not looking for some other woman. They're not looking to make these children, now, you behave, you carry our good name, you know. When you go out into the world, we want you to take this good name and make sure that it's respected, you know. You got to learn your values. You're learning what's right and wrong and stuff. But grandma and grandpa, they just say, you can do no wrong. You're my little sweetheart. You're wonderful. You say the girls are picking on you? That's only because you're so beautiful, you know? And what happens to the little girl? She stops being unhappy and angry. And then they don't pick on her anymore either. Because that's what she needed to hear. And the little boy, the other kids are all pummeling him and knocking him down and giving him a hard time. And Grandpa says, hey, they don't realize who you are. They don't realize that you are a beautiful being, that you are the most wonderful guy in the world, that you're, yeah, that if you wanted to, you could put your fist right through their face and they'd lay flat on the ground. But you don't do that because you know that you could, so you don't have to. And you just stand up to them and you say, hi guys, what's going on, you know? Just act as though everything is in divine order, and it is. It is. If the world could be treating one another like that too, hi guys, what's going on? You know, there'd be peace on earth because people are looking for harmony, peace, right action, joy. Unconditional love, it's one of the most beautiful things one could ever imagine in the world, except it is something we are least experienced in. And the reason that we're least experienced in it is what? We don't really realize how easy it is. We think we have to protect our good name. We think we have to stand up when someone is a bully against us. We think we have to be unhappy because someone calls us names. And sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but names can never hurt me. You are whoever you are. You are whoever you appear to be at this moment. And a moment from now, you may be different. Do you want to be unconditional love? Do you want to know love that grandparents know for the first time? Then start acting like a grandparent does toward the grandchildren. Start acting with the same unconditional love, that's the only word you can use for it, the same unconditional love toward everybody in your world. Not slobber all over them, not hug them and do things like that. That's good too. That's good too. But that's not necessary. What is necessary is that they feel that you love them, that they feel you accept them unconditionally. You don't have to hug a little child every time you want him to know you love him. You just look at him and you just melt. That's my grandchild. That's my grandchild. And what do you say? All the world is just flowing with harmony and peace and joy. And if you hug him and snuggle him, that's good too. Smooch. I said to Cielo Arriaga's daughter, we hadn't seen each other for 20 years. And I said to her, do you still give your mom a kiss on the lips before you, when you leave, when you come? She says, yes. Because when they were teenage girls and I had been working with them, I said to them, as they were going out the door, giving a hand kiss to their mom, you know, and so forth, I said, come back here. I said, is this your mom? Yep. Do you love her? Yep. Well, why are you just throwing a kiss at her? She might not catch it, you know. You got to go over and give it right on her lips. On her lips? You know, they're used to kissing their boyfriends on their lips. And so they kissed their mom on the lips and, pretty good. And they kept it up because they realized it's this actual touching, this actual oneness that made it so great. And here, after all these years, she remembered it. You see, the little gesture, it was not significant and great, but it was a little gesture. And they bought it. And in buying it, they developed an unconditional love for their parents. And that's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can do that too, if you wish. Perfect love sometimes does not come until the first grandchild arrives. But when that first grandchild arrives, my goodness, you think that the world, the sun comes up on the kid and the sun goes down on the kid, you know. Well, if that kid's not around, it's raining outside or something, you like. The weather is crying, saying, where is my baby? Where is the unconditional love of my heart? So you practice that if you wish, and you watch what happens to your life. You think that you had a good life up to now. It's nothing compared to what happens when you open the floodgates of unconditional love and do that. And it's never too late. Never too late. I mean, your kids can be 60, 70 years old. And sometimes they are. But it's never too late. So this is what we can do. That we can prove this Welsh proverb, which says, perfect love sometimes does not arrive until the first grandchild comes. We can come aware of that. We can come aware of that. Of course, there's always the other side of the street. Maybe you always were perfect love. Maybe you always were unconditional love. So how would you make a comparison? Don't worry. You don't need to. You are it. And that's wonderful. And I think everyone at this table has tasted unconditional love. But you're like the hummingbird out here, sticking its beak down into the sugar water. You bring it up drop by drop with your tongue that goes wiggling in and out of your beak. And what could you do? You could create a vat of sugar water out in the open, and you dive into it and just soak yourself up with it and be so unconditional love in everything you do. Think about it. Think about it. One of my students to be, he wants to be a student, he said he had a number of problems in his life. And he wasn't there, he was in prison, he wasn't there when his mother died, he wasn't there when his father died. And his father's birthday was the day after his. And he was very sad about all this. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to think and how to feel. But he said, after seeing Roger, another prisoner taking the courses, he said, he knows what real love is. He knows what a person who really is, you know, aware of himself is. And he says he likes that. And he wants to put that to work in his life. Because his first letter that he wrote to me, he was very sorry for himself. And I told him, get off it, you know. I mean, everybody's got something to be sorry for themselves, you know. Whether they're broken arms, or in prison, they're out of prison, they're married, they're not married, you know. Everybody's got something. So just be thankful that whatever you think is important, you can now start putting in motion for yourself. So if you think unconditional love is important for you, start putting it in motion for yourself right now. And watch the miracles take place in your life. Because you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're wonderful. And I love you, I love you, I love you.